Amen. And the church said,
Amen.
Thank you. There's a tough balance between sincerity, obedient actions, and faking it. If you smile, everybody smile. Everybody smile. I had a resistant non-smiler over here for a second. When you smile, you feel better. Yeah, well, there's a non-smiler. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to tell you what I just saw. But anyway, if you smile, you end up feeling better. You could say, but it wasn't real. It wasn't sincere. I wasn't legitimately happy or joyful at that moment. I was thinking about what James said and how much money I don't have now for spending all the things on the value. And I was grumpy that moment. Don't make me smile. That was fakey. Wait, no. It's an interesting balance between sincerity and obedience and faking it. If we waited until we were sincere about doing anything, our lives would be pretty awkward. If you waited till you felt like getting up to change the baby crying in the middle of the night, if you waited until you felt like making dinner, or you felt like mowing the lawn, or whatever it might be. So I am so thrilled by your obedience to God. I look around and when Dave and Perry and Rick and I meet, we look at each other and say, we don't deserve to be in a position of shepherding such a wonderful group of people. You all, you know, I thought I was going to get up here and talk about Etienne's lesson. Did you all hear Etienne's lesson Wednesday night? I'll get to that in a second. But now I've got to add my reflection on James's admonition to us on value. I shake my head and say, how could I possibly shepherd such a group of people who teach me and teach me? It's like the sheep teaching the shepherd. I don't know. I'm not adequate for the position. I am not adequate for the position. James, the $2 drink isn't worth it. Don't tell me the $4 cup of coffee isn't worth it. Please, that would. Thank you, James. Thank you, David. Thank you, brothers, for your leading of prayers and serving. Wednesday night, Etienne led us in a brief lesson on faith. It was clear, it was specific, it was very helpful. I appreciated it. He introduced us to the definition of faith in Hebrews 11:1, and then cautioned us not to let our faith be supported by or be based on, he just used the word apologetics, but if you don't mind, I'll expand that, the external evidences, the sciences and the geologies and the histories. Don't just let your faith be based on those things. And he brought us back. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. And that's found, what book? Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by, this is where Etienne left us Wednesday night. If you didn't hear it, you might have been taking care of something else, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. Faith is a powerful element. It is elementary in that it's basic. There's not a human walking on earth that isn't walking in some way in faith. Everything from trusting that the sun is going to come up. By the way, welcome to our sunrise service. We have sunrise services about this time every year. It only gets longer from here. Shortest day of the year, welcome to winter. Actually, winter doesn't start till about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I was told, so we're still in fall. But see, that trust, the trust that when you set down a book, it's not going to float away off the table, the trust that the sun is going to come up tomorrow morning, the trust that if you deposit your money into this bank, they're going to have it there tomorrow. Everybody develops and walks and lives by some aspect of faith. But we have a specific, we're called to a specific faith. We're called to an aspect of faith that as James taught us just a minute ago, is eternity changing. Is eternity changing. I'm so grateful that Etienne cautions us not to just look around for reasons to believe. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I want to believe until I see something that's going to convince me. But tells us to go back to the Word of God. The Word of God gives us a series of powerful stories, of powerful reasons to believe. And not all of it is internal to the Word of God. The Bible itself tells us and has us reach outside of it. It gives us four things, repeats four basic reasons that you can trust it and believe it. Prophecy, fulfilled prophecy is one. Miracles, convincing, experienced, witnessed miracles. Eyewitness accounts. So that's fulfilled prophecy, witnessed miracles, eyewitness testimony or eyewitness accounts, and finally, the creation itself. The Bible repeatedly tells us that God is the creator of all things and says, look at the universe, look at the world, look around you, and you'll know that there's a God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Join me in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when you were dead even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show you the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. This week, we will be giving gifts. Most families that I know will have some sort of aspect of gift exchange, whether you spend the 24th or the 25th of this month, whether you center it around Christ or just have a seasonal holiday. Most families that I know will be exchanging some aspect of gifts. And I pray that this week we will appreciate the joy of gift giving, the power of giving gifts. Because in this passage, we're being told about a gift given to us by God. Every year, my family gets, they don't quite roll their eyes at me, and maybe they do. Anyway, every year I say, we've bought too many gifts. There's too much. You can't see the tree for the mountain of stuff piled up supposedly underneath it. And I go, we're spoiling ourselves. It's in the way. It's too much. I can't deal with the stuff I already have. Why do we? And then the next year I buy too much again. Lack of discipline? Sure. Sit down and teach me that one sometime. Because it's so much fun giving things to people. I love somebody, I want to give them something. I want to enjoy, rejoice, have the joy of mixing an interaction of my love and care for them. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I love it. Jesus, the quotation that we have of Jesus in the book of Acts is exactly true. It's more blessed to give. It's more fun to give. And the better gift, I mean, I've never given Carol a car. There's never been a big red bow on a nice vehicle. I always buy old ones. And actually, I got a fairly decent one last year. But still wasn't new. Anyway, I haven't given really big gifts, but God has. Imagine the joy. Imagine we have so much joy, and we can give precious gifts to our family. But imagine the joy that God has. The anguish and joy that God has in laying out for people he cares about so much, the gift of his son. The gift found in his son of grace and faith and salvation. There is nothing we can do except fall on our knees and say thank you. Except jump up and respond in obedience. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This idea that we celebrate the coming of Christ by the giving of gifts, of course, reflects back on what the Magi did, what the wise men did in coming to visit the family of Jesus in Bethlehem. But there's so much more power in giving things. There's so much more power in this exchange of care and love. If we try to get away from that value fight that James talked to us about and get into the precious perspective of what's going to go on this week, that this is a week for us to pull together and enjoy the love of giving. I bring up the subject of faith because, just to get to the point, that's the gift I would like to encourage you to wrap up and give to each other, especially to your family, especially to your children. Give them the gift of faith. God gave it to us. Who's the author of our faith? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. But I thought my faith was mine. Well, yeah, Robert, it comes out of your thinking. It comes out of your heart. But you didn't create it. You are simply looking at Christ and mimicking his obedience to God. Jesus wrote it. Jesus created it. The other meaning of that word author in Hebrews 12:2 is leader. He's the one who leads us in faith. He leads us in it, he created it, and he perfected it. So in that gift giving, we turn around and show that faith that we learned from Christ, that we got from Christ, and we give it to those around us. What a joy. So you bought the Nerf gun, and the kids will shoot it at each other and until they knock over the glass and break it on the, you know. And then you put it up. That's it. Fine. Just put it up. Put it away. No more shooting in the house. That's it. Right? You can get away with things until you break something. See, those gifts have relative value. And as James said, we could spend a while talking about how they have no value at all. But except the expression of the joy, expression of the care. But there's a gift here that's priceless. The word faith in Scripture is interesting because the same word 230 or 40 times in the New Testament, the same word comes out faith, trust, and faithfulness. Galatians 5:22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. We, and most translations say faithfulness. It puts faith in the action form, faith in the continuance form. But it's exactly the same word that's translated faith another 100 times or 80 times in that version of the word in Scripture, 240 overall. The fruit of having the Spirit of God in us is faith. Faithful. That we are people who walk and love and serve in Christ. What are we going to be doing a year from now? Where are we going to be sitting? That sale going to go through? Anybody know? I don't. So are we going to be a mopey, frustrated congregation a year from now sitting here? How come God didn't bless us with the sale of the building a year ago? We should be out of here. Still scraping along, trying to build one part or another of the new building. So are we faithful and blessed by God if we do sell this building, and aren't faithful and not blessed by God if we don't? You know the answer to that. Whether God's blessing is one of financial success right now, that we actually do get to sell and move, or whether it's of personal discipline that he says, no, I want you to walk a little farther down the pathway. I want you to pull together a little more. I want you to grow in patience a little longer. Both are blessings. Both are aspects of faithfulness. God has given us. He's given us. He's given us faith. God is faithful. We read in the New Testament. You know, the story that we read a few minutes ago in Matthew 14, we just did a little bit of it with Riley leading us. Disciples see Jesus walking on the sea, Matthew 14, right? They're terrified. We know the story. Jesus says, it is I, don't be afraid. And Peter says, famously, Lord, if it's you. Which one of us would have said this sentence? Lord, if it's you, tell us to get out and walk to you. And Jesus says, come. So Peter gets out of the boat and puts his foot on the water. Whose faith was that? Who stiffened up the water? Did the power and the depth of Peter's awesome faith stiffen that water up?
and get him out there? Not at all. In fact, he gets rebuked in a couple of moments. Faith is a gift. Peter gave a gift to every man looking out of that boat. Faith, trust, faithfulness. Of course, he began to sink because he got worried. Anybody here get worried? Not enough money, not enough health, not enough time, too much to do, too many pressures on us. We get worried. We get worried. And Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Don't doubt. We'd like you to wrap up a package of faith for your family, of faithfulness for your family." You know, if you ask somebody, "Oh, he's a faithful member of the church," what does that tend to mean? He shows up. Show up, sit down, open the songbook, drop something in the plate, stay awake during the sermon, bow your head when the prayer comes, and you go home. That's faithful. Well, you all know that's just that's elementary faithfulness. And so when we say, no, I want my faith to be more dynamic than that, therefore I'm not going to go and sit in that building. I'm going to go and sit on some hilltop somewhere and cross my legs and let the breeze go through my hair and pray to God up there because I feel so much better. Faith? Yeah, it's more dynamic. It's more engaging. It's more... But is it faithful? You see, there's a real value in coming and joining your family. Is it enough? Absolutely not. But it's foundational. And it's a gift to your children. So what are we going to be doing a year from now? I don't know. I don't know if I'll be alive this afternoon, much less a year from now. But I know who will be Lord of this congregation a year from now, unless we rebel against him, and that's Jesus Christ. And I know who will be an example of love to this congregation, Jesus and you walking in him. So that gift of faith is something you give your family and each other every day of the year. Now, the elders have something for you to do this week. It's almost time for me to wrap up. If I could get three volunteers, men, three guys up here to pass out something. Jeff, Nick, you want to help pass out something? Barry, you got this? Or? Yeah, one per family. Thank you. This is a devotional. We're not meeting this Wednesday. We're not meeting this Wednesday. It's the 24th. And you all are an awesome congregation. We know if we'd had a gathering, we would have a full spectrum of families Wednesday night. But we would like, many families have family traditions, and many people will be traveling in, and many people will be gathering together Wednesday night. And so we would like you to spend part of Wednesday, obviously if you need to and want to make it Thursday morning or sometime around that, we would like you to have a family devotional. This is just a sample. It's a family devotional that spends a look at Scripture with the time of the year. So it's a look at the birth of Christ. It's a look at a couple of Scriptures talking about Christ coming. It's some questions to answer and some songs to sing together and some focus for your prayers. Many of you are very experienced in family devotional, so you don't have to use this exact outline. But we wanted our families to have something this week, that faith isn't something we just show at the beginning of our meals and on the gathering of the church. That faith is something we walk in day after day. So that the power of faith, that Peter standing on the water
can be the image of our lives, stepping out of our protected area and showing to our hearts and our family what it means to walk in the faith that Christ has given to us. Faith is a powerful element. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's go to Hebrews 11 just for a minute. We'll go ahead and wrap up there. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Did Noah know what a flood looked like? Doesn't seem like he did. Could Noah tell what tomorrow was going to bring? Not a clue, except that he heard about it. And so when you go through Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Moses, by faith, Moses' parents, by faith, the people of Israel around Jericho, by faith, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, by faith, they knew nothing about the future. They knew something about their God, but they knew nothing about the future except what God had told them. This God-pleasing faith says, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know whom I love. I know who loves me. I know who I am. And I thank you for where you've put me. So give your family this gift of faith. There are names not listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 32 reads, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, etc. It's a couple of beautiful examples of faith. He doesn't get into the New Testament stories, but think about Joseph and Mary. Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 knows this young lady he's supposed to marry is pregnant. But by faith, he believes the message he receives in a dream. Mary in Luke 1 knows she shouldn't be pregnant. This can't. But when Gabriel speaks to her, she said, your servant, may it be done as you said. A young man and a young woman who have no idea what the future is going to be like, trust God as servants. Trust God with an eternity-changing event in their lives. Your events also are eternity-changing. As they affect your faith, your obedience to God, the faith of your brothers and sisters sitting around you, and the faith of your children. Let's give that gift. Let's be a people who give that gift. Oh, how awesome and joyful it is to give gifts. But as John says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in faith. What an awesome gift. That we can give faith to the next generation, something solid for them to walk in. I have no greater joy than that. If this morning any here are ready to be baptized into Christ or to have any aspect of their life corrected, if there's something you want to bring forward to the congregation or anything you want us to pray about, please let us know. Come forward while we sing the song that David has selected. Thank you.